First Corinthians 6, verse 16. Let me put it up here, just so you know I'm not talking off the top of my head here. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For the two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Not one soul, not one heart, not one body, one spirit. God saved and recreated our spirits. He now dwells in our spirits. He does not dwell in the soul. He moves on the soul through the spirit, from the spirit. The soul is what he's working to change. Our mind, our emotions, our desires, our will. That's what he's working to change. The soul is what he's working to purify and to bring to perfection. Sinless perfection. Okay? So no darkness can dwell in our spirits, but our souls are a different matter because they contain all kinds of darkness. And it's in the soul realm that the demon spirits can traffic. Okay? It doesn't mean you're possessed. They traffic in the soul realm. They traffic in any area that hasn't been crucified, laid down, and raised again in resurrection life. See? We don't go to the... Positionally, we're all crucified already. Positionally, we're walking in resurrection life. Positionally, we're seated at the right hand of Christ. Okay? But what our position is in heaven has to be worked out in life, in works, in how we live. It has to become a reality in our experience. Okay? And that takes time. It takes time for God to save, purify, deliver the soul. And so there's lots of areas of the soul that remain in darkness while it's being perfected, while it's being delivered, while it's being purified. And whatever realm remains in darkness in the soul realm, that's where demons have the ability to traffic. Okay? So a Christian, as far as I'm concerned, I believe a Christian can have a demon. It's possible for evil spirits to traffic in those parts of the soul which have not yet been crucified. I'm not necessarily talking about demon possession here, okay? So I don't want everybody to start getting hung up on semantics and titles. I'm just talking about the ability of a demon spirit to move through a person, whether Christian or not. This is why the death of self mentioned, like I said, isn't a silver bullet cure-all for everything. Because as we die to self, as God's working on one area, there are other areas that aren't dead. And those areas can create problems in our lives. And I'm not saying we're not forgiven. I'm not saying we're not covered by the blood. All I'm saying is, while God's working on one to purify one part of our soul, the rest of the soul has problems still. And the rest of the soul, if it has a problem, is an open door for spirit to possibly, I don't say it all the time, but possibly move. The cleansing, the perfection of the soul is done bit by bit by the Spirit of God, as long as we cooperate with Him and allow Him to do it, over a long period of time. And during the whole process, there's areas of the soul aren't yet crucified. And any area of the soul that's not crucified is as an open door for possible demonic activity involvement. That's how the man of sin is able to sit in the temple of God. Okay, that's why he's able to sit in the temple of God. This is the mystery of iniquity we're talking about right here. See, lots of people talk about the mystery of iniquity like it's Todd Bentley. It's not. The mystery of iniquity is how a Christian, a person who is in the light, who knows God, who has a relationship with the Lord, and who is walking in light, can end up having Satan sit in his temple. That's the mystery of iniquity. It's a mystery. See, the mystery of the unsaved is no iniquity. Everybody, all the unsaved have always been living unrighteously. They've all been possessed. The leaders of the nations have always murdered people to get power, murdered people to stay in power. They've all lived lewd, licentious lifestyles. They've all been involved in the cult. Wickedness of the unsaved, I'm sorry, is not a mystery. The mystery is, how does a godly person, a person who's trying to follow God, end up lost? How does a person who's trying to follow God, who is born again, who has the Spirit of God in him, end up having another spirit come take a seat in their life? And that's why I'm warning about the Todd Bentleys and the vineyards and all the other things wrong. I mean, if you don't believe a Christian can have a demon, why warn people about it? What's the point? If you can't have a demon, then go visit Todd Bentley. Why are you scared? God will protect you. You can't have a demon. Go look and see what's happening. The whole reason God has people like Steve and me and other people, warning God's people, to not get involved with that, not even look at it, is because Christians can come under the power of another spirit. You're the temple of God. If you are a born-again Christian, if you have the Spirit of God living in you, in your spirit, you are the temple. He dwells in your spirit. Now, the soul is his also, it belongs to him, but he's not joined in the soul. That's what I'm trying to say. The soul is a mixture of all of his life that's coming into it from the spirit and of the death that you've been walking in your whole life, or I've been walking in my whole life, okay? God's spirit comes out of our spirit and cleanses the soul eventually until there's nothing left in the soul. That's when Jesus said, the devil cometh and findeth nothing in me. That's what he's talking about. That's what we're supposed to get to. The devil cometh and findeth nothing in me. There's nothing left in the soul to be purified. It's completely clean. Every bit of it has been gone to the cross, has been nailed to the cross by Jesus through a work of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this ourselves. We just have to yield. The Holy Spirit does it. And half the time we don't know how it's being done, or when it's being done. We just look back someday and realize something happened. We're changed. But that's the point. Change, change, change. We're changed from our image to his image. And as we go along, one day, there's going to be a group of people. He's going to come back for a church that says without spot or wrinkle. So somebody is going to go the whole way with God, allow him to do the work 100%, and come forth in perfection. And they're going to be perfect when he comes back. And that's the whole soul realm is what that's about. Cleansing the soul. The body will come automatically. You know, the body, we're going to get a body, and we're going to get rewards according to what God does in our soul, what we allow him to do in our soul. So the body's changing at the twinkle of an eye. The spirit's saved instantly when we're regenerated. It's the soul that's taking all this time, this effort, this, you know, conundrum we're in, tests and trials and being separated from people and being separated from sin and having to deal with our things that are in our life that are evil and fight against them and wrestling against them until we get the victory over them. Okay? Hang on. Well, there's still, the soul is a different entity. What I'm saying is, Paul said body, soul, and spirit at least twice in the New Testament. So if the soul is spirit, then Paul wouldn't say body, soul, and spirit. That's my point. Okay? That's the church has been teaching. There's no difference between the soul and the spirit. It's all one. And what I'm saying is there is a difference. Paul said it. If you understand that, that's how a demon spirit can be involved in a Christian's life. See, because the evil is not dwelling with God in your spirit. The evil is in the soul. And God's in the spirit, coming out of the spirit, moving on the soul. Any demons working in our life isn't in the spirit. It's in the soul. It's in the soul realm. The whole argument that God can't dwell in the same vessel as the devil is only posed because people don't understand the difference between soul and spirit. They don't understand what salvation really is. So it's the Spirit of God that dwells in us, and it's only the presence of God in us that makes his temple. That makes us his temple to begin with. Yet the darkness is going, a satanic power, some kind of power, is going to take a seat in that temple. Another thing that people are saying about this temple thing is they're saying it's the flesh. The man of sin sitting in the temple is your flesh nature sitting on the throne of your heart. Okay, anybody ever heard that? Hang on a second here. Somebody says, Dan, so you're saying that a demon can work through our mind? Yes, through our mind, our emotions, and our body. That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. And I want to touch on this other thing here before I forget, okay? Because a lot of people are saying that verse in Thessalonians is talking about the man of sin is your selfish nature, the self-life, the old man. The old man's going to sit on the throne of your heart, and that's Antichrist. I don't think that's true. I'll tell you why. Paul said this, that Satan enters the temple there, that reference. He said Satan enters that temple through signs and lying wonders. Now, our old man, our flesh nature, our self-life, cannot possibly produce signs and wonders. You know, the flesh has no supernatural power. So having self on the throne of our hearts does not and cannot come about through supernatural power. Self has no supernatural power. Okay, there are only two sources of power in the universe. One's God's and one's Satan's. So the man of sin is not a reference to self-life taking the throne. Because whatever takes the throne, whatever becomes God in that person's life he's talking about, is done through supernatural power. You all see that, right? You know, see what I'm saying? He comes to the temple. He gains entrance into the temple through supernatural power. The person's deceived by supernatural power. That's how he gains interest in the temple. So this is a spirit. I call it the spirit of Antichrist. I believe it's a spirit that's been loosed out of the bottomless pit at the end of this age. And not everybody will agree with that. That's fine. I believe it's that spirit is called the spirit of Antichrist. It's a demonic prince. And out of the pit comes that prince. And then the prince deceives the church, the formal church, the visible church. It raises up a one world government and eventually indwells a man. Okay, but behind it all is a demonic power. And it's not just taking down the unsaved. It's taking down many other people who were once saved. And that's the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity is not that all these morons, these unsaved people, are getting tricked by the devil, are getting devoured by the devil. They've already been devoured by the devil. That's not a mystery. Okay? The mystery is how God's people can be devoured by the devil. When God gives them the power to overcome the devil, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. You have the Spirit of truth inside you. We have everything going for us. We have Jesus Christ in heaven constantly being our intercessor for us. We have the Father who loves us, who's committed to bring us to glory. We have everything that's going for us. Everything is going for us as a Christian. Yet, many people in the end will end up in Antichrist, end up lost, who were saved. That's the mystery of iniquity. It's a mystery how that thing can happen. And what I'm saying is part of that mystery is God dwells in your spirit. He doesn't dwell in the soul. He works on the soul through the spirit. And eventually the soul will be purified. But if you as a Christian live in the flesh, eventually you will die, and you will die spiritually. That's what he's talking about. You die spiritually by having that spirit or a spirit, that spirit or some other spirit, come in and defile your temple. And that's what Daniel's talking about in the book of Daniel. He says that the abomination which maketh desolate. A Christian has life. They're supposed to produce fruit. When they open up to a demon spirit, I'm talking about now specifically a religious demon spirit, the spirit of Antichrist, the one that's taking over the church. When you open up to that spirit, it comes in and starts destroying all your fruit, destroying all your life. And if you don't eventually get delivered from it and stop it, you will end up desolate. It's the abomination that maketh desolate. It's a demon spirit, a religious demon spirit, coming into God's temple through supernatural signs and wonders, destroying all the fruit, destroying all the life, slaying our new man, and making us desolate. That's the primary thing what Daniel's talking about and what Jesus is talking about. And that's what's happening right now all around us. It's not just a theory. It's happening. Unless, the only way you can say it's not happening is if you want to adopt a fundamentalist viewpoint, which says that the only people being deceived are those who aren't really saved. That they're pseudo-Christians. They're people who think they're Christians. They just look like Christians. The ones who are being deceived really aren't Christians. And in that case, if that's your view, then you don't have anything to worry about. I mean, if you know you're saved and that's your view, why would you even worry about it? Why would you even bother warning people? I got about 50 discernment websites on my links here. I mean, in my favorites folder, I browse them once in a while, see what they're condemning everything that's going on. They also condemn the real baptism of the Holy Spirit and any signs that follow that. But I often wonder if they just believe that people are being deceived are those who are not saved, weren't called to be saved, weren't preordained and predained and all that. They weren't elected from the foundation world. If that's your view, why are you bother warning people? Why would you warn somebody? For what? Who are you trying to warn? The unsaved? Why would you warn somebody who's unsaved, won't get saved, is not destined to be saved, was predestined to hell? Why would you warn them about the apostasy? And why would you warn Christians about the apostasy if they can't be lost? If they can't get a demon, come under the power of a demon, can't have lost? I mean, it's crazy. God's people, the minds of God's people are walking in such confusion in religious Babylon right now. You know, and that's what Babylon is. It's not just a system. It's not just a country. It's not just a world order. It's religious confusion first. Everything comes out of that. Okay? Okay, let me see if anybody's talking here. Who are the tares in the church? Were they once Christians? I don't necessarily think tares were once Christians. I don't think that that particular parable or teaching Jesus was given wasn't talking about people being saved people backsliding or the saved becoming unsaved. It's just talking about people who are unsaved, who are in a church, and they're hiding under things, and they're not Christians, okay? But that doesn't mean there are no Christians who backslide, okay? You know what I'm saying? The tares aren't Christians. They probably never were Christians. But there are Christians who backslide, and Jesus wasn't addressing that issue at that point. He was just saying at the end, the people who look like they're Christians and aren't are going to be taken out of this kingdom, out of the kingdom, out of this world. Because the kingdom of God's coming to earth. He's going to take out that kingdom that's come to this earth. He's going to take out of the earth. Everything it offends is abomination. So all the tares are going, right? We all know that. So, but his point was not to say that you can't backslide, or if you backslide, you're always a tare. That wasn't his point. His point was just to say, this is what the harvest is. This is what the end of the world is going to be like. This is the harvest. Ken Gallery says, do these things need to be cast out by others, or can you repent? And we do it yourself. God gave us power. He gave every one of us power and authority over demons. And lots of times they go without even us. Sometimes they're so weak, just that we walk in the Spirit and make up our mind to not do something, that is enough to drive them out of their lives, as long as we keep walking in the Spirit and keep fighting against that thing. You know, sometimes that's enough to even drive them out. Sometimes they're strongholds. They've been with us for a long time. They've been in our lives for a long time. And we got to actually pray and bind them and come against them spiritually. Okay? Did I answer your question at all? That's as far as I'm concerned. Now, as far as I know. Yeah, I'm not God. I'm not saying this is God. You've got to accept it. And I'm just saying, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, from my experience and what I read in the Word, not all demons are powerful. And see, the one I'm worried about right now is not smoking demon or drinking demon or whatever else, whatever kind of demons, that lust demons. I'm not worried about those kinds of things. What I'm worried about is this religious spirit. See, a religious spirit is a whole different class of spirit. It's got a whole different level of power. And it's a lot harder to recognize because it's telling you to do the same thing that Jesus is telling you to do. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a desire to read the Bible, and that demon will give you a desire to read the Bible. The Holy Spirit gives you a desire to go to church, or be in fellowship with people. That spirit will give you a desire to fellowship with people. The Holy Spirit will give you a dream, a vision, give you a word. That spirit will give you a word, a dream, or a vision. Okay? We're talking about a religious spirit that's counterfeiting everything the Holy Spirit does in a person's life. That's the danger. These lesser spirits, you know, drinking and smoking or whatever it is, lust, hatred, violence, you know, their spirits can take a person to hell, of course. But that's not the danger we're facing. The danger we're facing this hour is religious spirits and the spirit of Antichrist. Because it's doing exactly what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. It's telling you to do the same kind of things. Hang on a second. Dan, I've had things that have bothered me all my life, and the Lord has shown me that when I have trouble with these, I am to cast them down. And good, drummer girl. That's great. That's Jesus gave power over them. I'm not talking about the devil and trying to exalt his power so we walk in defeat and say, oh my gosh, you know, I have demons and I'll never be able to get free from them. God gave us power over those things. But you have to recognize what they are and take the authority over them and get rid of them. That's all. And the church is telling people, you don't have a demon. You're under their blood. And if you're under their blood, the devil can't do this to you. The devil can't do that to you. And there's no way you can have a demon. And what they're doing is destroying God's people. Because in order to fight the devil, you got to know he's there. You can't win a war, you don't fight. You can't win a battle, you don't even know you got to get in a fight. And so they tell these people, it's just your wicked heart. It's just a sin. It's just the flesh. Just get out of the flesh. Okay? And these people never get the victory. And now they don't not get victory over the things they could have victory over. They're going into deeper and deeper in deception because they won't watch for demon spirits. They don't think they can be taken over by demon spirits. And then you see Todd Bentley, and they're confused. They go, well, this guy Christian's got deceived, or he was never Christian. He was a tare. What's going on here? What's the story? And the story is God gave us the truth in the Bible, but he brought it forth in a body-wide ministry in the 70s. And everybody's laughing at it, thinks it's a big joke, because, of course, a lot of it is a big joke now. Okay, but God brought that thing forth to help those who had received the word of going on perfection to actually go on perfection. Because you're not going to go into perfection and be clean, a clean vessel for God to use in the next age if your life is filled with demon spirits, or your mind is filled with ideas that came from demon spirits, doctrines, ideas, revelations, words, visions, dreams that came from demon spirits. God came to cleanse us doctrinally, emotionally, the whole nine yards, the whole person, every bit of it. And part of it is cleansing our mind from all the garbage we've been taught in the churches. And the biggest ones we've been taught in the church is eternal security and various different levels, various different angles and ways. And this thing, you can't have a demon, you know, and the great revival, and there's going to be a rapture before the tribulation, and all these kinds of errors have set God's people up for easy pickings in this day. And it's so sad, I can't do anything about it. All I can do is just blow a trumpet, you know, and anybody who has ears to hear can hear, and those who don't, can't. You know, I can't do anything about it. I'm not God. I can't make people listen or hear or obey or anything like that. But I do feel like God called me to blow a trumpet and sound the alarm in Zion. There's plenty of people warning the world about Big Brother coming. There's plenty of people talking to the churches about Big Brother and about Todd Bentley and everything else. There's very few people warning Zion that they're in danger and helping Zion to learn how to come forth in Christ. So that's what I'm doing. Lots of people are called different things. Some people are called evangelism. Some people are called to other things. I'm called to this. So I don't put anybody down who's in another ministry, but I got to do what God called me to, okay? Let me see here. What's everybody saying? Rebecca says, it can feel very close to the Holy Spirit. It takes discernment to know the difference sometimes. That's right. Exactly right. Exactly right. And the closer we get to the end, the more deceptive it's going to be. Well, I mean, Jesus said even the very elect could be deceived. Nothing's going to deceive the elect, but something's exactly like the Holy Spirit. Todd Bentley's not going to deceive the elect. I mean, the very elect. Those who are really close to Jesus. The Mormons aren't going to deceive us. You know, there's so many things out there that's going on. They're deceiving so many people. They're not going to deceive people like me. They're not going to deceive you guys. What's, the only thing that's going to deceive us is something that feels, looks, smells, tastes exactly like the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be something we're used to. You know, if one of your problems isn't drinking, a drinking demon isn't going to come along and try and get you. If your problem is a gambling, a sex demon is not going to come along and try and get you. They play to the things that we're weak in. They play to the areas that they already know we have a problem in. And they're going to talk to us in ways we're familiar. If you never had a dream or vision, one of these spirits is going to start giving you dreams or vision all of a sudden. That's too much. It might give itself away. The point is not to give itself away. The point is to deceive you. And believe me, he's very good at deceiving us, using our weaknesses against us, using our own lusts against us, using our blindness against us, using our idolatries against us. Okay, he's had 6,000 years to know what's inside man. 6,000 years of practice on deceiving people. That's a long time. Okay, we're up against a very powerful, powerful entity. He used to be a cherub. He used to cover God's glory. And when he fell, he took all that power and genius with him and turned it into an evil genius. What was holy became evil. And now he's using all his evil genius, all his wisdom to destroy us. He's not just a devil out there. He's your personal enemy. He's after you. He knows your shortcomings. He knows your problems. He knows what you're weak in. He knows your lusts and frailties. And he's playing to those things every day to try and get you to succumb and end up walking under his power. And it's not a joke. And God's people are succumbing to him right now, right and left, because they haven't been taught the truth. They've been taught fables. Israel says, yesterday, especially more than ever, the gift of discerning spirits is... And say amen. Amen, Israel. The gift of spirits is very, very vital right now. Because you're talking about a counterfeit. I've said this many times, but I'll say it again. In the past, what we're dealing with is a black sock and a white sock. Okay? I mean, you can tell the difference between a black sock and a white sock anywhere. But you can get in a dark room and hold up a black sock and a dark, very dark blue sock, you can't tell the difference unless you put it right on the light. They both look the same. And that's what we got right now. We got the counterfeits looking just almost precisely like the same thing. And the only way you can understand it, it's a counterfeit, is to hold up the light, is to walk in the light, is to be obeying God and have a discernment that comes from obedience. There's a gift of discernment, like Israel's talking about, but there's also a discernment that comes from obedience, from separation from the world, from separation from religious idolatry, separation from all the things of the world. There's an added level of discernment that comes as we walk in obedience, as we lay down our life, that helps, it puts more power in our gift of discernment, you know, as I'm trying to say. So we need that right now, because I'm telling you, Todd Bentley ain't the last one. This ain't the last thing you're going to see. It's going to get worse. It's going to get closer to the truth. It's going to get more hard to detect. I'm trying to see what people are saying here. Well, she says the morning is about the will of God. So that's amen, Purim. That's right, Rebecca. Amen. That spirit can even use our desire to go to perfection to bring us into bondage to it, not even realize it. Amen. Amen. It's very tricky. And the more we grow, the more astute we become in the spirit, the more subtle and dangerous his tricks come. See, I said this the other week. When you're a little baby Christian or you're a little child in the spirit, the devil throws one kind of temptation at you. Throws a certain level of temptation and trickery at you. As you grow, he has to change. He has to metamorphose. His tricks, his wiles become more trickier and more close to the truth. And they grow with you. And as you come to manhood or womanhood in the spirit, they become even more trickier. He changes again. He's constantly changing his tactics to fit our present spiritual condition, whatever it is. And see, people think just because they know there's a message called going to perfection, there's a message of coming to the fullness of Christ. Because we know that, you know, because we're trying to walk in that, we're under God's protection. God's going to protect us. It's not true. All that means is the danger gets even more greater. You know, it gets more serious because the devil gets more tricky. And he's playing to us. He's playing to the things we're coming into. So like Rebecca said, just because we have a vision of what God's doing now, bringing the people to perfection, that's no safety measure. The devil get in that whole desire, get in that whole realm, and mess it up, get us off. So it's very tricky, these demon spirits, and they're getting trickier. And like I said before, Todd Bentley's not the last. There's going to be another one coming down the pike. And he might not. This one might not be run by a guy who looks like a freak. He might be run by somebody who's very likable. And they might not be doing a chicken walk and all those other crazy things they're doing. You know, they might be doing something very different. And when you're faced with that kind of thing, what are you going to do? Are you going to know it's the power of the devil? Or what? I don't know. We need discernment. Yellow says, that's why it's so important to know the word of God, to discern the truth from error. Yes. When we walk in the truth and listen to the Holy Spirit, he will show us truth. Amen. Love the truth. That's what it says in Thessalonians. They're given over because they don't love the truth enough. But part of that truth is being willing to see our own selves, how we really are, being willing to acknowledge what we are. Part of that truth is being aware that we're in a battle, that we're in a war. There's a lot to the truth we've got to walk in order to stay safe. Drummer Girl says, Dan, I pray for the Lord to keep me from deception and leave me. Amen. That's a good prayer. That's what we all need to be praying. And like I said the other day, I'll go through this one more time quick. My whole Christian life, I used certain measuring sticks, you know, to make sure things were of God. First of all, you measure, and not just is it a verse of Scripture, a key verse, you know, cut and paste is a numbered verse. No, does it fit the whole Scripture? Does it fit the whole context of Scripture? The second thing is, does it fit what God's doing? Is it in line with what God's doing? And what God's doing is not going to take us to heaven in a rapture. What God's doing is perfecting the people to rule and reign with him in the next age. Okay, what God is doing is bringing forth a perfect wife for his son. Okay, so it's in line with that. And then the third thing I always judged it by was, is it in line with God's character? Okay, is it in line with God's character? I mean, you know God's character is not clucking like chickens and barking like dogs, slithering on the ground, being glued to the floor, acting like morons. That's not God's character. God's character is not raking in the dough, driving around in Cadillacs, living in $500,000 mansions while little old ladies send you your pension funds, you know, and your little welfare checks and everything. That's not God's character. So those three things are kind of things I used to judge for a long time. Is it scriptural? Does it match the whole word of God, the whole counsel of truth? Does it match God's nature? And does it match what God's doing? But I'm telling you, what I'm hearing now, these spirits are putting things out to pass all those tests. They're saying things that are totally scriptural, absolutely totally scriptural, in line with what God's doing, and they're in line with what his character at first. As you watch them, eventually they play their hand, they show their hand. But for a long time, they can fool you for a long, long time and act like they're moving in God's nature, what God would be doing. You know, so it's imperative that we get our gift of discernment up to snuff, up to par, you know. I don't know how else to say it. It's imperative we ask God to sharpen our discernment very, very quickly, and very strongly. So as it gets worse, we don't end up one as deceived. Amen? Okay, everybody's writing things, so let me see here. Purim says people like Chip Brogdon. That's right. Chip Brogdon's a real deception because he's got a lot of good truth. A lot of good truth. And that brother's walking in terrible, terrible delusion. And he's going to take a lot of people down with him. Hugh, You put in your text in yellow. I can't hardly read it. Jesus will fight our battles as we walk in Him. Okay, great. That's true. If you walk in Him. Trick is, are you walking in Him? Lots of people say they're walking in Him. Lots of people believe they're walking in Him. But are they really walking in Him? You got to make sure it's not a cliche. It's actually real in our lives, you know. Out of Fire says, okay, Kathy, we are seeing now why we are told to guard our hearts with all diligence and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. King Gallery says, should we all be blowing the trumpet to everyone we talk to about Lakeland? Well, I don't know. You got to be led by the Spirit to do that. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to keep talking about Lakeland. I mean, I put that message up on my site. I might mention it once in a while. But see, Lakeland's not the problem. Well, the whole base that Lakeland's come is built on, and the blindness of God's people is a problem. So, I, after a while, that's going to be like beating a dead horse, even though it's going to keep growing and growing. You know, you're not going to stop it. And the people who are going to go are going to go, and the people that aren't. You know, but you got to be led by the Spirit, because I don't know what to tell you. I'm not just worrying about Lakeland. I'm worrying about a lot of things. You know, demons, the spirits in general. You know, Lakeland's just a good manifestation to point to and say, see? You know, but my main burden is not Lakeland, because Lakeland is pretty obvious to people like us. Is anybody in this room really fooled by Lakeland? Was there any kind of doubt in your mind that Lakeland was a counterfeit? Is there anybody in this room that had to really decide whether Lakeland was a counterfeit? Or y'all pretty knew right off the bat that that wasn't God? And the subject comes up, yes. Amen. Yeah, sure, you gotta. Anybody brings that subject up, you gotta stand for the truth. Sorry, I didn't see that. Tim Zing says, Satan is trying to devour the born-again children of God. Satan don't need to. That's right. Satan's not trying to devour his own children. They're already devoured. Amen, Tim. That's the point. That's the problem. So, yes, I'm sorry, King Gallery. Yes, if the subject comes up, you got to speak the truth. Absolutely. But as far as going on warning anybody, you got to be led by the Spirit. I can't tell you to do it or not do it. I'm warning people about Lakeland. Only as an example. My real burden is for the spirits that are more subtle than Lakeland. They're after people like us. Like I said, we're not fooled by Lakeland. We're not fooled by the Todd Bentleys and the C. Peter Wagners and all this garbage. We're not fooled by the dominionism, bringing the kingdom in now. We're not fooled by the pre-tribulation rapture. We're not fooled by a lot of stuff that the church has been teaching. However, we can get fooled by the spirit that's growing with us and mutating and changing its tactics to fit where we're going. That's the spirit. That's the thing I'm concerned about. And that's what I'm trying to keep everybody's focus on. The Antichrist spirit that's trying to get you ain't just in Lakeland. It's in probably in this room. You know, it's in our lives. It's around us. It's around your family. It's around people you know. It's not out there. You know, everybody's talking about out there. Lakeland. Todd Bentley's horrible. And he is. And I talk against it. But we got to look at ourselves and say, hey, man, is something going on to me that's giving this spirit any kind of room? I'll never go to Lakeland. I'll never be caught in that garbage. But is there anything else? But can I get caught up in something else that I might not be seeing right now? That trick ain't going to trick me. But is there a trick for me that I'm not wise to? I'm trying to encourage people to walk softly, to walk carefully, to be sober and diligent. Nobody's above coming under that spirit. Nobody. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how mature you think you are. I don't care what you know or how long you've been walking the Lord. Nobody is above being tempted by that spirit and falling. Okay. Tim says, if a born-again Christian cannot fall away and die, why Satan tries his best to devour? Amen, Tim. Satan is not stupid. Amen. Good point. That's right. Al Fire says, and God may give you just what you're asking for. Be careful. That's right. None of us are exempt. And just that knowledge, just the knowledge that we're not exempt, just the knowing that we could be deceived, that we helps us be sober, helps us watch. That's part of the tools that God uses to keep us from being deceived, is that knowledge that we can be deceived. Because most of the people going down, I guarantee you, they believe in their mind or somewhere deep in their heart. They believe in eternal security. They believe that whoever else gets taken down by Satan, they're different. They are different. They're special. The devil may get the whole world, but he can't get them. That's what goes on people's minds. That's why they get deceived. But if you adopt the understanding and the mentality that, hey, I'm not bearing anybody else. I've got to walk soberly, carefully. Watch. The devil's walking like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's a personal devil. He knows you. He knows me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows just what to go for. He knows just what kind of situations to bring in our life to get us off, to get us out, you know. Makes us better watchmen, makes us more careful, makes us better soldiers, equips us, gives us a better equipment to overcoming. The whole point is here to overcoming. We're not learning about him just so we get head knowledge. We're not learning about him so we can, just to glorify him and say, oh, the devil's so powerful. We're learning about his wiles and his tricks so we can overcome them. That's the whole point. Overcome them. The point is victory. The issue is victory. God wants us to get victory over our flesh and over every demon spirit that moves in our soul. And you got to know they're there before you can fight them and overcome them. That's all. And God's people have been told for 100 years they can't have a demon. The devil can't hurt them. The devil can't touch them. They can't fall away. It's just crazy. And so they're all set up for all this stuff in the end times. And they're all going down. It's like flies.